All right, gang. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Here we are at the Coaching Skills Forum. I keep saying this, but I really need theme music of some sort. That's what I need. I'll find it some point. But in any event, this is where we have coaches from all over the world gather to explore a single aspect of our coaching. Today is no exception. We have been having, I know, we've got a bunch of repeat coaches here who have been on these calls in the past several times, some for many a time. I mean, would you guys say these calls just keep getting better and better?
Yeah.
I know, it's a leading question. I'm hoping for a particular answer. I keep getting stunned by the brilliance of these calls and the wisdom and the wonderfulness. And when people come across them that are new and they go, well, which one should I listen to first? I can't even begin to say, because I just go, whatever, pick one and just go with it, because they're all fantastic. And today's topic is really, I think, is without exception, going to be just as wonderful. We're exploring the world of eliciting greatness. And I just can't wait to see what we discover. And for those coaches just jumping in, welcome. We were just starting off and we haven't even begun. Couple of logistics, just for anybody that's new or is not understanding. These calls are open. These are open form calls. That's why I can say without a doubt that they are some of the most brilliant and powerful and exciting coaching calls that are out there consistently. We've been doing these for over 8 years now, and the wisdom is not because of me. It's because of all of us. We are all contributing. So that means you all on this call are invited, really deeply invited, to participate and to share your thoughts, your experiences. I mean, really, to kind of be transparent about it, I'm really eliciting your greatness to show up. I want your greatness to be here. It's not to expect you to perform and be brilliant and do, you know, say brilliant stuff. Just let yourself be here naturally. And that also may mean that there may be questions or things that you disagree with. That's totally cool, too. Because we're all here to just elicit each other's greatness. That's what I think is so fantastic about these calls, is that we're all calling ourselves forth to really show up at our best on these calls. And that way we can then invite and give permission to all the other coaches who are listening to do the same. So please, show up as fully as you are able to and as fully as you are willing to. If there is noise going on around you, then please mute yourself by pressing *6. Otherwise, the noise will be very distracting to the call. However, do your best to keep your lines open so you can jump in and play. These calls have been approved by the ICF being worthy of Continuing Coach Education Unit, CCEU. Now, depending on how you get this call and this information will determine which CEU you get. If you are on this call live, as these coaches are today, then they'll go home with a lucky, handy-dandy core competency credit. Yes, it slices, it dices, and it fulfills the core competency requirement as needed to renew your credentials. However, you can still get credit if you're listening to the call live. In other words, you're just getting the home game, which is basically, you know, as exciting as a can of turtle wax. I have no idea where I'm going with these metaphors. but you'll still get credit. It's just that it would be automatically reverting to the resource development and learning credit, which are still usable. But the real required ones are the core competency credits, and those you can only get when you're participating in anything live. So take a look at what credits you need. If you need more core competency live credits, get on these calls live. If you need just a bunch of extra credits to round out your load, listen to the recordings. My preference, do both. But I would love for anybody and everybody to get on these calls live, because that is what makes these phenomenal, and that is what elicits the greatness of these calls. How to get these credits is pretty simple. Somewhere in this call there will be a password, and it will show up. And I'll make it pretty clear that it is the password, so you won't miss it. But we do this so that you will not just put me on mute and put this call on mute and then go about going through emails or whatever it is, but that actually you're engaged in a part of this call. Afterwards, after the call, go and visit coachingskillsforum.com. That's where you'll see a calendar list of all the upcoming calls, as well as a list of the over 150 archived recordings that are out there, including past conversations of this very topic. So check it out, because it could be really exciting to hear the difference. And you'll also see two options to purchase your credit. You can either get a single credit, in which case then you would just hit that button and make your payment to PayPal. And then I would get a little notice that shows up and says, this coach has sent in a payment for this credit. Or you can sign up for the six-month membership package, which basically means you just need to pay once. Now you're in it, and for the next 6 months, you can listen to any live recording and get credit for those. You can listen to any live call and get credit, or you listen to any recording. I just said live recording, didn't I? Or you can listen to any recorded call and get credit for those. And just all that you need to do is just send me your own email requesting the credit. Either way, make sure you provide today's date, which is Wednesday, April 25th, 2015. And that's important because we've done tons of other calls. I want to make sure I get you the correct one. And also the topic, which is elicit greatness, or eliciting greatness. And that's important because I want to make sure you get the proper certificate and include that password that we mentioned so that it tells me, yes, you were actively engaged in a part of this call, either live or listening to the recording. Any other questions can be found at coachingskillsforum.com. Boy, I hope I covered all that. We're running out of time already. All right, so any other questions, coachingskillsforum.com, or you can also contact me. In any event, we have got a rich conversation to launch into, because this is the aspect of our coaching called eliciting greatness. I got this from Thomas Leonard's list of 15 proficiencies of certified coaching. He refers to certified coaching, which in the same way as professional coach or experienced coach or trained coach or whatever kind of, you know, it's really like really good coaching. And Thomas Leonard, for those who don't know, was considered one of the founders of the coaching profession as we know it today. There's been a few major inspirations and crafters of this art and craft, but he was one of the originators, and he had his list of the 15 proficiencies, of which I have incorporated into our list of conversations. This topic goes as follows. Who else is trained to be proficient in this? Eliciting greatness. Who else is trained to be proficient in this? 24/7, 365, but the certified professional coach. And while it is true that few clients come to a coach and specifically ask that we bring out and develop this greatness, this is what we do naturally when we ask the client to think and act bigger, and by challenging the client to continually raise their own bar and standards. Some examples he offers are asking for higher standards, asking for absence of something, and asking for a much bigger game. The key distinction to keep in mind is the difference between greatness versus success. That's all he gives. So I'm going to open up the floor to you, gang. And when we just hear elicit greatness or eliciting greatness, what does that mean for you, especially in your coaching? What are we talking about here? Anyone? Oh, don't be afraid.
This is Lynn. That definition raised more questions for me than answers.
Definition. You thought you knew it. You thought you had it. And then the definition messed everything up.
Right.
Share what's popping up for you. Go ahead.
What popped up was the last sentence about greatness versus success, the distinction that he makes. And success looks to me like, I have no idea what he meant by it, but success looks to me like an endpoint, an achievement, something that is ticked off on a box and you have reached a destination. Greatness looks to me like more of a state of being, or what you kind of what we acknowledge in our clients, their way of being in the world that leads to that success.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's what he meant or not. But that's
well, no,
what to me.
It's a good place to explore and contemplate. I love it. Yeah. What else? Anybody else? Like what, either what's coming up for you or, oh, crap, I thought I knew it.
Hey, Ben, this is Terry.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes when I think I've had my least success, when I look at it, it's when I've shown my biggest greatness. Because greatness is like, that's kind of like when you're pushed, like you're going into your scary zone, and you're like pushing the edge, the leading edge of who you are just a little bit. And sometimes you're not willing to say, oh, that was successful. Maybe you can't go there. But it's like you're different. It's like you cannot be successful. And often maybe you don't look successful when you've actually exhibited your greatness.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, what a great provocative question, statement, or point of view is, can you be great without being a success? Can you absolutely flop and be, I guess, you know, considered a failure, but still be great?
In my book, absolutely. And
I think in my book too, I think that's an exciting place and a very exciting distinction. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's almost required. I mean, sometimes your greatness, you have to let go of that feeling of success, which can be inhibiting.
Yeah.
To actually be unleashed to greatness. To be taking your eye off the goal and what is success in your eyes or somebody else's eyes. And I think it unleashes you. Anyway, I'm in a kind of noisy space, so I've kind of like been on mute. But anyway, you're great. All right. I'm going to go back to mute.
Okay. All right. What else? Yeah, I love this. So greatness, so success is, if I'm hearing this also right, it's kind of almost that sort of measuring outcome. And, you know, it's measurable. It's, did you achieve this success? And it's something that we can evaluate and usually justify with some type of proof. Whereas greatness seems to be more of an experience and really like how you're showing up. Really cool. Great. What else percolating for everyone? What are we talking about when we talk about eliciting greatness in coaching? What the heck does that mean?
Hi, I'm Crystal.
Yeah.
Sorry. It just brings up for me around the coach's role in helping to motivate the client.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a big piece of what sometimes clients are needing or wanting or missing.
Yeah.
Motivation, the vision, the visioning, and how to do that.
Very much so. Beautiful. Yeah. Somebody else is saying something there?
Hey, Ben, it's Kari in Tucson.
Kari.
I think the power in this, too, is just that there's the expectation even of greatness. I think, I mean, we've talked about this before, how, you know, a lot of people don't even explore this idea that there can be something more until they find coaching. And I think some of the power is just even that there's this potential and that we, as their coach, have this expectation and possibility of greatness that I think a lot of people, I know when I, you know, have the sample call and start asking some of this stuff, you know, I wish I had a dime. Unfortunately, it's sad, but I could be very rich for all the times people say, I've just never thought of that. Nobody's ever asked me that. I've never explored that. And I would think a lot of people, you know, if you say what's your greatness and what makes you unique and that kind of stuff, I don't know if, like I said, a lot of people in our modern society even even think about that, let alone make plans and think that it's even a real possibility.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of what he brings out is, who else is trained to be proficient in this? That's the first thing that's said. And that makes me even think, well, where else do we experience this eliciting greatness? I mean, if really coaches, and maybe there are some exceptions, but I'm hard-pressed to think of one in the moment. I mean, if it weren't for coaches really standing in this greatness, where else might we experience it? Maybe our parents, but even then it gets a little, but you're wonderful. I don't know if that's necessarily eliciting greatness. Where else do we experience this?
I think mentors, help in that area too.
Possibly, yeah. Yep, I can see that.
Yeah, or a good teacher, this is right.
Yeah. That's true. Now that you mention that, I can think of there have been some teachers in my past who have really been supportive and encouraging and really standing for my greatness. And we see that in the movies and TV all the time, too, in stories, are those individuals that really stand for the greatness. But it's, even then, it's pretty rare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is Ray again. The first thing that came up for me before you read all of Thomas Leonard's description, and he comes, of course, with a distinction. This is one of his things. He loves distinctions, or loved distinctions. But the first thing that came to mind was, it doesn't happen right away. It's not the first thing you go for with your client. I mean, it's like, I was just thinking, you got to set the foundation, you got to establish trust, you got to kind of understand where your client wants to go, help your client. Greatness, I think it's in the background. It doesn't jump out in the first session necessarily.
I love that. Thank you for bringing that up and being that reminder, because, boy, it can be so easy to fall into that trap of, come on, we had a session, aren't you great yet?
Hey.
It's interesting, but then what I find interesting is that there's another part of me that says, yeah, but that may or may not be achieving greatness or having the client buy into it, but I can elicit greatness. I can stand for it right in the beginning. And even before my client begins, and that may be something important worth distincting. Distincting?
Yeah, hold on.
Oh, great. I'm done today. So let's distinct. There is a difference between eliciting greatness and maybe something else. Because that is one of the words, isn't it?
Hmm.
But I think you bring up a really good point about the expectations that we may start to form. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, and I think that you can certainly hold the space and begin to draw that out of your client. But as someone else was suggesting in the call, I mean, greatness often will happen, or you'll really step into it after a series of failures.
Yeah.
So I think that you can elicit greatness, but will your clients attain it? That takes time.
Yeah.
I guess I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I think you're very good to bring it up, because we can form that expectation that is like, well, the client may not agree with you right off the bat. They may really work hard to say, no, coach, you don't understand. I'm not great. I can prove it. I got a whole life of crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I'm calling you. If I was great, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And so, yeah, you're right. It may take some time for them to buy into it. But yet, it can be instantaneous that we are in that place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I dig it. Awesome.
And it occurs to me that a client may not want to be great. It could elicit fear in a person using a word like that.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? Yeah. No, I'm not great. That's way too big. Maybe other people are, but I'm not ready for that responsibility.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, it makes me curious, though. We were talking about eliciting greatness. Actually, I'm even more curious about that, the eliciting part. Like, what comes to mind? He doesn't say create greatness. He doesn't say get the client to figure it out greatness. You know, it's all eliciting. What a strange word.
You elicit something that you focus on. Like, by focusing on it or seeing greatness at the moment, and greatness goes by levels. It's a state of being as opposed to something you do, although there may come some action with it, but it's more of a state of being. It's being the most you can be at that time, and if you've got a headache, your greatness is going to be a little different from the day that you feel like you're amazing and you got a lot of energy and things are good. So greatness, you know, has its levels, and eliciting greatness is just, you elicit it by paying attention to where it's showing up already. And, well, I know that there's a lot of other definitions too, but it's like when you see that it's already happening, it's like, hey, I think I didn't get killed from that, so maybe I can try that again. Or something, you know, more greatness. Anyway, okay.
Yes, I didn't crash and burn. I didn't explode. Oh, okay, let's see what we can do. But I love that you point out about finding the greatness that's already there, as opposed to, boy, how many times have we fallen into this trap of trying to make something that's not there? And that, to me, sounds more like that hard convincing that just is not fun.
Well, bootstraps are never fun.
Yeah, bootstraps.
You know, just be with what you are. What does greatness look like, you know, today, right now,
yeah,
in this very moment, wherever you're at, what does greatness look like? And then just be with that.
Yeah, and it's interesting, when I hear you describe that, it also makes me, again, thinking about that word, elicit, I just get this feeling of, you know, almost like of gardening and trying to grow something and nurture it and draw it and pull it out and have it flourish, as opposed to yank and pull, which may not work so well. Yeah. Great. What else? Well, here, let's actually look at it this way. You know, what is... Talk about this a little bit. Oh, I know. I was sorry to ask a question. I actually derailed myself. But what makes this important? That it really is so worth writing down and then having this conversation, that we need to have it in our coaching. What makes this important?
It's about potential.
Good word. Yeah. What else?
I guess the client wouldn't be coming to a coach unless they wanted something, some kind of a change or improvement or result of some sort. So, you know, it's important to client outcome. And also, I think the eliciting piece, you know, evoking it or drawing it out is kind of the essence of coaching, is that, you know, it's a partnership, and through your tools and techniques and questions, you know, that outcome can be drawn out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, this is Ray. I mean, similar to what the last person, the coach, just said, I mean, I think it's ultimately, while it might not be the specific request that a client makes of you, it's ultimately what people come to coaching for. Even if they're not conscious of it. It's like that's probably one of our most important jobs, is to help people aim high, and not just, as Thomas Leonard pointed out, not just to succeed, but to achieve something that is essential. It's an essential expression of us.
Yeah. Well, I love it, and you reminded me, I'm just revisiting that definition where he even says, and while it is true that few clients come to a coach and specifically ask that we bring out and develop their greatness, it's what we do naturally, and that's what they really have come for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And you're right, most of us, I mean, even when we've come to our own coaches, we're savvy, we're experienced, we know this deal. And yet I can't tell you, I don't even think I can count on one hand. I don't think I can count on one finger how many times I've said to my coach, I want you to help me elicit my greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that's really what we're doing. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. What else makes, what makes this really important?
Sally, I guess to me it's not only about eliciting that in the, well, when that is elicited in the individual that we're working with, of course they then take that into their life.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. If we can elicit it in the coaching, then hopefully it will stick around. That's certainly the hope, that it continues to grow and flourish in their lives so that they can continue to show up beautifully and powerfully. Okay, so if it's really important and it's a really good idea, then we should probably keep this around, yeah? But in that case, though, really, what gets in the way? What prevents us, what stops us from truly eliciting greatness in our coaching and with our clients?
Fear of stepping into our own greatness.
Wow. Yeah, that's a little one, isn't it? I mean, actually, I heard there's a fear, but the one that you specifically pointed out, which I find fascinating, is the fear of stepping into our own greatness. Yeah, and it just makes me think, it's like, wow, you know, how can I possibly help my clients step into their greatness if I'm not willing to step into my own? It just doesn't seem like it's going to work too well. What else? What else stops us and gets us in their way? Makes it difficult and challenging.
It's Ray again. I think there's also it's the logistics and the details and clients' goals and setting the goals. I mean, we've talked about action and, you know, accountability and all of this. And I think that in that doing, it can be easy to lose track of the bigger picture. And I think that coach and as a client, we can both lose track of it.
Actually, yeah, I love that you bring that up, because there's just the sheer nature of the coaching and the, you know, the problems that they're struggling with and the goals that they're setting and the things that they want to achieve, and that can start to become an easy distraction from what this is really all about.
And I think building on that, Michelle, here.
Yeah.
It can be easy to lose sight of what's really going on and kind of the deeper level by going with what appears on the surface for this.
Oh, yeah. So now we'll just take that at face value and we'll just work on the surface. It's a little bit easier to spot and it's a little easier to work with. Yeah. Anything else? Wow, what's getting in our way? What we know to do this. It's important. It's good stuff. It's powerful. And yet...
Well, how about the fact that a coach, we have such great times with our clients that we can live vicariously through them.
Oh,
and we can think of our clients, we go, oh my gosh, this one's got this going on and that and that, and they're just living amazing. And we're like standing with our feet planted on the sidelines, and we're just like cheering on our team, you know, little individual people and all that. And we don't realize that, well, maybe we're pushing ourselves in our coaching, but what about the other parts of our life? Coaching would be considered maybe your career or whatever, but are we pushing ourselves to, you know, experience our greatness in the areas of our life that scare the bejesus out of us? The areas that we don't want to go toward. I mean, are we expecting of ourselves the same thing we expect, but because we get the euphoria of experiencing it through the emotions and watching our client, we don't do it ourselves because we're actually getting that emotional high from watching them, so why should we push and experience it for real?
Well, I love you bring that up because it points it back to us, that we need to step into our own greatness. But what I also heard you bring up, and I love that you brought this, because it sounds like there's almost a sort of conditional greatness. No, I'm great here, but I'm not great there.
Well, and so often we really don't talk to our clients when we're working with our clients about our greatness, because it's really about what's going on with them. So we're pretty quiet. So do we take time to really stop and look or share with our friends or family about our own personal greatness or with another coach? So you ask, what could get in the way? Well, because we are so excited about what's going on with our, you know, clients that we don't bother to think about, you know, are we really doing this ourselves? So that to me could get in the way.
Yeah. But I also heard something about, well, like, you know, I'm sure I'm great here. But I'm not willing to really acknowledge the greatness in these areas that are hard and challenging and scary and uncomfortable.
Exactly.
And, boy, isn't that probably something similar to our clients? Is that, I'll concede, Coach. I'll give you the I'm great here, but only here, not in the rest of this. And it sounds to me like there's this conditional greatness as opposed to the all-encompassing, no, you're not only great when this little thing happens, you're actually great, period. All we're doing is evaluating how and where that greatness is showing up and revealing. But it just occurs to me that if we're truly talking about greatness, then we're actually talking about the wholeness of the client, not just situational. I mean, am I kind of making this up, or am I onto something here?
Sounds like you're onto something.
Okay.
Sounds like you're onto something. I agree.
Yeah.
It is about the wholeness.
Because I think that's why that distinction of success becomes so critical, is because otherwise we start to evaluate our greatness based on what we're good at or what we've accomplished or created or what we've been recognized for and our result and our success. And that's what makes you great.
This is Lynn. I think you really are onto something, and that may be why Thomas Leonard used eliciting, because that implies that it's already in them. It's already there, and we are able to create the conditions or the just the catalyst to bring it out.
Yeah. I like that word, by the way. I know that there have been other coaches who like call themselves catalyst coaches or, you know, catalyst coaching or something like that, but it is really what we do, isn't it? It's what's already there. We're just helping to bring it out.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Anything else? Like what gets in our way? What stops us from when truly eliciting greatness in our coaching with our clients? Well, that's it. We've covered it. we've covered.
Is anyone there?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, did we lose Ben?
We lost Ben.
Ben there.
I think we lost Ben.
You think he's coming back?
Yep. Yeah, he usually calls right back.
Are we still working on what gets in the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any more ideas?
Well, I guess talk without Ben, right? Is that the idea? This is Ray. I just would say that perhaps our own fears, as some of the earlier coaches had suggested, I mean, our own fears of perhaps, I don't know, do we feel like we're great? Are we expressing our greatness? Do our clients threaten us? I don't know. As someone was saying, you've got to actually live it if you're really going to elicit it from your clients.
Yeah. I agree with that. I was thinking, this is Kari again in Tucson, and I was thinking it's like that Marianne Williamson quote that was made famous by Nelson Mandela in one of his inaugural addresses about, you know, that it's not the darkness and being small and failing that we're mostly afraid of. It's shining our light and that fear of success and being as great as we can be. And I know that's something that I had to work on first, and now I work with a lot with my clients on, of that fear of success.
Hello, gang.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, I think our password should be hello, Ben.
Hello.
Yes. Where's Ben? Hello. Where'd Ben go? Where's Ben?
Well, what I find so funny is I'm sitting here. I must have bumped my phone or something like that and shut it off, but I just thought you guys were all being so quiet. And I'm like, so anything else? No answer. Well, here, let me ask this question. I'm asking this other question. Nobody's answering. I'm like, what's going on? You guys were so chatty beforehand, and suddenly they So which occurs to me is you know, one of the things that gets in the way of us eliciting greatness is that we just lost connection and we're not able to hear it. You guys have been sharing beautiful insight, may have been, sharing beautiful insights and discoveries, but I wasn't here to really witness and receive it.
Yeah, so sometimes when you lose track of the conversation, I guess that is something that can get in the way.
Yeah.
Technology.
Yeah, oh, that crazy technology.
So, Ray, this is... sorry. That's okay. This is Dixie. I was going to comment. Is Ray still on the line?
I am, yes.
Okay. So I think that what you said is spot on, and I think, and what I want to contribute is that I do work with parents and teachers, you know, because I'm really exploring coaching as a derivative of deepening the work that I'm doing based on a children's, you know, book that I'm working on, a children's anthology. So I'm kind of embedded in that world, and I think that what I come up against a lot and what I will, you know, remind parents of is to continue to heal their own stuff while they're parenting. I mean, it would be ideal if you could come to the table healed before you become a parent, but that's not realistic. So if you can continue to heal your stuff and not project your fears or your anxieties or your trepidations or your lack of self-esteem onto your child, but instead foster theirs, that would be preferable, which you really can't do unless you are awake. And so what you bring up, I think, is a really good point, which is that as a coach, you can be working with a client, and if a client is reaching for something broad and brave, then you, if you have your own self-esteem issues or your own limiting beliefs, then you might very well perceive them consciously or subconsciously as being unrealistic.
and then share that with them instead of sharing something that might be a more productive for a coach, right?
Yeah.
So I think that having your own fears is absolutely a huge obstacle, I would think. I can't imagine that there are, you know, that every single coach has done all their inner work. I'm sure they do a lot of it. But I think that what you bring up is a really good point, which is, you know, that to not allow your own fears or your own limiting beliefs to stop you either from encouraging your client or helping your client, to inviting your client to approach whatever their situation is in their life without limitation.
I also wanted to
suggest there's a book sitting on my coffee table that is a really sweet children's book that I think if you have, it's just about not hiding your light, which is really what you're talking about. It's so sweet. If any of you want to pick it up, it's called Serenze's Light by Jessica Colaco, C-O-L-L-A-C-O. And it's all about this little firefly who doesn't want to shine her light because, you know, she doesn't want to be too bright.
Oh.
And I think it's just, you know, I think children's literature holds such gifts, you know, for adult issues. So if you wanted to pick it up even to share it with a client who maybe is trying to be bigger and braver in their life, I think it's a great one.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Wow, I missed a really beautiful thing. That's great. And it, you know,
you can listen to the recording.
Yeah. And it reminds me, actually, when you bring about children's books, it reminds me of one of my favorite books of all time, which is actually, I'm realizing, is all about a listening greatness. Because it's actually this individual who comes across an entire planet, and other people don't believe that that planet exists and that deserves to be around. And they just see it as an insignificant thing. And so they're set about planning to destroy it because, well, but the people on this planet, if there is such a thing, don't deserve to be around. They're not great. And yet, this one individual takes the stand and says, no, everybody on this planet deserves. They're wonderful. They're beautiful and powerful. A person is a person, no matter how small.
Or he hears a who.
Yeah. And there is something about how we, you know, we can get caught up in how things appear, and yet to really have that deep belief of the greatness that is in everybody, all of us. So, anyways, it popped in my head. Thank you. I'm also reminded of the Marianne Williamson quote, which everybody loves and shares about, you know, who are you not to shine your light? Which is really just her eliciting our greatness. It's all over the place. So, while I was disconnected, I was asking the brilliant question. but I'm still curious, though. We were talking about how we as coaches, we certainly have to learn to elicit our own greatness. And that's also, as was brought up, being aware of our fears and our limitations, what's getting in our way of our greatness. Not our success, our greatness. But we're also, how are we eliciting the greatness in our clients? And then even just how do our clients take over and elicit their own greatness? But let's look at it, the complete, that loop of energy and flow. How do our clients elicit greatness in us? Maybe not intentionally, that's not their job, but that certainly is part of the experience. How do our clients elicit greatness in us? Any ideas?
By giving the coach an opportunity to be of service.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Because as Marianne Williamson also says, or of course in Miracle says, your first job is to be of service and to be used for God. So your second job happens to be whatever writes you a paycheck. But you're never really unemployed. You always have that job. So I think that as a coach, I think your client is eliciting in you the opportunity to be of service.
Nice. So that certainly does.
Yeah, and I would also say they support us to become more aware of ourselves. by challenging us by, you know, us noticing that we're hooked into something that we're not able to really support them, then we learn about our vulnerabilities and therefore can step into our greatness more.
Yeah. Good. Anyone else? How do our clients elicit greatness in us?
Hey, Ben, it's Kari again.
Yeah.
There's so many things, but what I really love about coaching is that it holds me accountable in being my most authentic and walking the walk that I'm asking my clients to. So if I'm holding the expectation for them and trying to elicit as much greatness as I can out of them, then I have that same expectation first for myself and have, you know, again, like the one coach was saying before about, you know, parents working on their own issues, of course.
Yeah.
We can't work on all of ours, perhaps all of the time, but at least, you know, again, I'm doing, you know, my own work as much as possible.
Yeah, you know, but and I so get that that can be a trap also, that we feel we have to be working on the exact same things that our clients are working on. Except if I've got 10 clients, I'm working on 10 different things. But you're right, that it's what is our journey? What is it that we need to be working on and be in our own process? I think it was Ray that brought up before about parents, about teachers, about anybody that's really helping others to learn and stretch and grow and to see their deep truth. We have to be willing to do that ourselves. Yeah. Anybody else? Anything else that comes to mind?
I guess from a practical perspective, just seeing the success and the outcomes, that it reinforces to the coach that it is possible to have that greatness.
Yeah, actually, I love that you bring that up, because when we get that feedback or that response, this is the shift that's happening. This is the change that is occurring that we're a part of. That is certainly exciting and encouraging for us to show up and do more of the same. Yahoo. So now this makes me curious. I'm sure somebody out there, either on this call or listening to the recording, is asking, yeah, that's great, but how do you do it? How do we go about eliciting greatness? And not so much of like, you know, let's walk through step-by-step instructions, but more of like, what coaching skills and qualities can we call upon to really help us support doing eliciting greatness really powerfully? Any ideas?
Two skills that come to mind are acknowledgement and championing.
Yeah, those would come in handy. So good acknowledgement, good championing.
I think the deeper listening and the powerful questions are really important.
Yeah. So good deepening the listening, deepening the learning and also just that deep listening. Great tools that we can use to help us elicit greatness in our clients. Anything else come to mind?
Presence, our capacity to be fully present.
Oh, yeah. Rich presence. Boy, if we don't have presence, we're in trouble. Awesome. Speaking of presence, I'm suddenly realizing, oh my goodness, this time is clipping away. We need a password. And it sounds like you guys had already chosen one.
No, we hadn't. We were just joking that hello or where's Ben should be the password.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm not stuck to that. But is there a password that does show up that is like, yeah, this actually does represent this call and what this is all about? I mean, there actually is, it's funny because the hello, where's Ben, even though it's about, you know, me in that moment, but it's interesting because what I actually also heard was there was this sort of calling out, like, where is he? It's there. I know that Ben is there, Ben somewhere, but where is he? And how can we connect with Ben in, you know, on this call? Or how can we connect with the greatness? Not that I'm the greatness. I don't want this to sound big self-serving thing. but you get the metaphor. You get the point. That's just what popped up in my head. Like, yeah, where is it? It's here. This greatness is here. Where? Hello. So, I don't know. It sounds to me like a good
metaphor. Okay with that.
Yeah.
I rather like it.
Yeah, I thought you guys were serious, and so I made sense out of it. That was great. So, I do have one more question, but don't forget, go visit CoachingSkillsForum.com, check out the upcoming calls, listen to past recordings, purchase your credits with the date of March 25th, 2015. The topic is Elicit Greatness, and the password is what, gang?
Hello, where's Ben?
Hello. There you go. I love it. I know people are going to be like, why is that so weird? I don't understand. So, last question. Let's take this back out of our coaching. We've kind of danced around this a little bit, but not just in coaching do we elicit greatness, but how does this show up in the rest of our world, in our experience? Any ideas? What's the bigger picture of eliciting greatness?
Well, I think there's a multiplier effect if some people go out into their circles and, you know, take that with them, and it multiplies out into the world.
Yeah. So at the very least, if we're helping our clients to elicit their own greatness, they're taking it on and putting it out into the world, which may impact others. True.
Well, it's like the Marianne Williamson quote that I had brought up, too, when you were off the call, Ben. And
oh, good.
It would,
okay.
And how lovely and how great, you know, a world could we have if everyone was more concerned with shining their own firefly light as bright as possible and, you know, not bringing others down or, you know, doing all the other stuff.
Yeah, boy, I love that. I mean, what if we were living in a world where instead of having to diminish somebody else's light or somebody else's greatness, that is what defines me as my greatness? Is if I'm great if you're not? That just makes absolutely no sense. And yet, what if we were in a world where everybody was shining their light?
And everyone was using their energy for good.
Yeah. And truly, not only truly eliciting their own greatness, but truly standing for the greatness of others. Like, imagine how that might impact politically or with our international conflicts. That we actually, instead of struggling and fighting, that we were actually standing for each other's greatness. And I think, as Thomas Leggett said, in the examples, you know, asking for higher standards, asking for the absence of something, asking for a much bigger game. And I don't know if we'll ever attain and achieve that in our world. I'd love to think we can. And I love that it was brought up because I think that we as coaches, we get to be the feeders of that in our own little way of helping ourselves and our coaches and our clients to elicit our own greatness. We're feeding that into the world. And we're hopefully eliciting the greatness of our world. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, gang. Oh, Certainly, you know, once again, another wonderful, exciting conversation that has certainly inspired me. I know my coaching is going to be shifted and transformed in the days and weeks to come. So please join us. Tell your friends. Get them on this call. Say, you've got to get on these calls. As we know, we talk every fourth Wednesday afternoon, which is today, and we talk every second Tuesday morning, which means that our next call will be on Tuesday, April 14th. And our lovely topic, we're continuing with more Thomas Leonard stuff. They just all happen to fall this way alphabetically, but this one is all about engaging in provocative conversations, which certainly elicit greatness, but also get to do so much more. So please join us for that call. Don't forget, visit CoachingSkillsForum.com for any other information. And other than that, gang, go out there and, boy, just continue to elicit greatness in yourself, in your clients, and in the world. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thanks, Ben. Thank you, Betty.
All right, gang. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you, Ben. This was awesome.